This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Start. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast. We're the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
All the land.
All right, down there in the bottom square, beaming in from just down the road in Seattle. He's here on stuff. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Dude, that makes it sound like I'm on drugs rather than here on business, which I am. I was also here for a wedding, but yeah, what's up, boys? Let's rock and roll.
Sometimes I'm not too sure. Like, I know it's business. Do I mention the wedding? I'll just let it go. Up in the top left square, beaming in, I'm sure, from a sunny, balmy, sounds a little stormy, Palm Springs. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
It was. I made it through a weekend of rain and wind and hail and thunder and lightning unscathed. So it's good to see you, boys.
Nice. Yeah. So, all right, Cobb, here's the issue. There is a morning show in town that hired a guy that used to work in radio in Seattle. Then he went to another market and now he's back. And in his little press release, it said, like, I'm happy to join this morning show. It's the best crew and all, and he spelt it A-L-L-L-L-L, the land. And I was like,
wow.
We've been saying all the land for a while. And I know the guy through other people. So I'm like, I'm sure he's heard our podcast.
Years, Ted.
Years, right? Like a decade.
Almost a decade. Wow. And it's in town? It's in Seattle?
Correct.
Oh, boys, that this is complicated. What, you know, I mean, on the one hand, we're not really even employed by this podcast and we do it for fun. On the other hand, that does ruffle my feathers.
Yeah. All right. So I had the same kind of thought. I said it to Matt. I'm like, am I overthinking this or whatever? So we talked about it. So I like that Carson chimed in and was like, you might have a case.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out Carson the lawyer. That,
got the text. He's a lawyer.
Hopefully that's real law, not bro law.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
bro law, but yeah.
No, I followed up and he sent a pretty lengthy, like, confirmation that if we wanted to, you know, make a case, it wouldn't be completely asinine.
Well, here's the thing. I'd like to explain bro law real quick, if I may.
Go
so
ahead.
Bro law. So Ted, Matt, and I all are very close friends with an attorney who also happens to represent the popcorn shop and has represented us all in different matters at different times. And bro law is like basically anytime after 8 p.m. when he'll be having a couple cocktails and give you advice that you're not sure if he's giving it to you as an attorney and it's advice you should rely on, or if he's giving it to you as your friend. And it's bro law, like it doesn't actually have any basis in law whatsoever, and you should not act on it. And so now we have to check on it. I'm like, wait, should I do that? Or is that bro law? Like, what does my landlord actually, you know? And so I used to just rely on that stuff, you know, full on. And now I'm a little more reticent, and I check in to see if it's bro law and we're just shooting the breeze, or if that's what I should actually do.
Yeah, I had to call him out last night on bro, like, you know, like his kids are grown. He likes going to shows and stuff. And he's talking to another mutual friend of ours that has two kids that are both in middle school. And he's like, just do it, man. And I'm like, hang on. It's like bro law. Like, your kids are grown up. You can't give out. This is like bro parenting advice. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's going to be gone for 2 weeks. And then you want him to leave again for another 5 days. Like, I think my other buddy should check in with the fam and the wife first.
Yeah, seriously. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, wait. So as far as the claim, I mean, my thoughts are very clearly we have used that. However, I don't really think we are the kind of people who sue people. And I think more importantly, not doing anything now does not forfeit our right to do something in the future. It's only a tweet at this point, right?
Yeah, it was just like I don't think we're going to sue anybody, but it's just like, I'm more of just like, don't use that. Don't use it in this market. Right. And I get it. Maybe he just said it because it was in his head, because he's heard it before. But I don't know. Just to see it typed out, I was like, come on, man. Like,
you know, yeah. Every show with that for a lot of years.
Yeah. And he's from here. So I'm guessing there's a good chance he has heard the podcast.
I want to ask a general question. You don't need to answer directly, but is this a person I know?
No.
Okay. So I feel like that's a pretty, this is like when comedians get accused of stealing jokes. And sometimes it's like, you know, it's a relevant topic, but different punchlines. And I'm never really sure. Some are very clearly stolen. Do you guys think that he is aware that we use this and stole it intentionally?
I don't know. That's kind of the question.
On reason and belief, bro law.
That's what I'm saying. If it's just one time, it's not a big deal. Me and Matt were just talking about it. I'm like, am I being over paranoid here? And he's like, nah, we've talked about it. My main thing is like, don't use it. Don't use it on that show.
Yeah.
That's where it's not like I'm going to sue him, but I would definitely call up the people on that show and be like, hey, it's your own shit.
Listen to episodes 1 through 383.
Yeah, exactly.
You let us know. Call our people. Call bro.
Yeah. Right? It's like, great. Like, get your own girl.
Ted, how well do you know him or people associated with the show?
What's that?
How well do you know the person on that show that you know the best?
Pretty good.
Okay. Like, could you send them a text?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Of course.
So that'd be pretty casual to be like, hey, just FYI, I saw that. That's kind of, you know, you could give them the heads up of like, don't have your production guys spend a bunch of time making imaging that we're going to tell you to not use.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, we're getting way ahead. Like, it just caught my eye. And I was like, that just seems interesting that a Seattle guy would use that term. Now, you're right. He could have just been saying it to say it. But there's really nothing to be upset about. But if they start using it on the show, then that's what I'd be like, all right. I wouldn't text that person. I would call the person I know and be like, hey, no.
Yeah. There's some guys that don't make any money in Palm Springs and Austin from this thing that are
pissed. Really,
yeah. Yeah, right. And like, I already deal with it enough at my own job where I have to remind people like, that was my fucking idea. So like, I certainly don't need another station using it.
That's a good point. I feel like I like this. We've got a little subplot line working its way through the background, and the boys may be going to war. You know, who knows? Or it could be nothing. We'll see.
Hoping for the best.
Does that pump the stock? Is that fair to say? I feel like war is good for markets.
It's good for the stock market.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, in that case, pump the stock, baby.
I knew what Mr. Cobb was up to this weekend. As frankly, I tried to invite myself to this wedding he was at. There was a slight chance it worked all right. At your wedding, I kept telling people, like, yeah, I'm going. And they're like, you're going? I was like, all right, hang on. I'm just kidding.
Just hoping. Dude, that would have been sick to have you there, first of all. And second, I appreciate you not leading with that and blowing up my spot and letting me do it myself. But yes, I was at a wedding. It was very fun. It was out on the islands, on Orcas Island. My wife's sister was getting married, and it was rowdy. It was a giant wedding. It kind of looked like a Cape Cod wedding. It was like a giant, very bougie wedding. I had a lot of fun. Met a lot of people. And the only thing is it was long. It was a 5-day wedding, boys. 5 days of activities.
That's a lot of events.
Yeah. I got out there on Tuesday and there were activities all the way till Sunday.
So I knew who Cobb was, but on Saturday, I was going to go to Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band. So I told my buddy, I said, hey, first of all, Texas Ted's been waiting, hats ready, shirts ready. So I told him, I said, we should wear jorts. And he goes, you have jorts? And I was like, yeah, of course I have jorts. Now, I mainly only wear these jorts at a festival or like Burning Man, but I have them. They're comfortable. So he had cut his. He had just made these jorts. And then when he puts them on, I was like, they're too long, dude. We got to cut them up. So I had sent Cobb a picture of me, my jorts and the cowboy hat. But then I sent him a picture back. And I liked that your wife, I included her on the thread too, just like, we're cutting shorts. I was like in my head, I'm like, I know they're probably wicked busy right now, but like, you got to appreciate this. We're chopping up fucking jeans to go. And got some compliments, got some odd looks, but it's just like rocking it.
Bringing it. The energy. I like that. And also, I'm surprised that he was surprised that a grown man in his 40s has jorts. That feels like a key. I feel like you're old enough that you have your wardrobe dialed. And that's a key staple, I think, of any white trash wardrobe. You know, like that's a summer staple for anybody.
Yeah. And I feel like somewhere out there, like jorts are coming back. Now they make men's like jeggings that are like shorts. Like Matt, who's the guy that works on all the girls' butts? You turned me on to like the glute master.
Brett Contreras?
Yeah, he's always rocking like those kind of like jeans. They look like jeans, but I think they're like a flexible material in the gym. I'm like, I think the jort is back. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to rock it all the time, but like time and place, it serves itself well.
Oh, yeah. Definitely more relevant than the cargo short, you know?
It is funny that I'm pretty sure I told Ted that, like, yeah, follow this trainer. He's called the glute guy, and he's always working with hot chicks in Arizona on getting better glutes. It's a great way to learn about the importance of developing strong hips.
Goes without saying, Kenny Chesney crowd. I mean, just so many attractive women down there. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And I think part of it is just the outfits, right? You have dresses, yes. Girls are in boots, jean shorts, and it's just like, and it was like hot out on Saturday. Like it was impressive.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know what it is. I wasn't raised in the countryside or anything, but that the country look, it'll turn a 6 into a 9 pretty quickly. And, women just look good and all that stuff. And I love it because I love that they love spending the time and dressed up in it. And I'm here for it, you know, cowboy hat.
You're in a good place for it, Cobb. I grew to appreciate the look more in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In Austin, that's just everyday gear.
Yeah.
Especially for bachelorette parties. Like locals don't really wear a lot of Texas gear till you get kind of way outside the city, but bachelorette parties, there's a pedal pub that leaves from in front of my apartment, and they have probably 10 of them a day. And it's just bachelorette party after bachelorette party after bachelorette party. And obviously we call them woo girls, but it's so hilarious. I always think I'll hear a bunch of woos. And every time I get tricked, I hear music and I'm like, what? Something cool happening outside? Is there a pop-up concert or something? I run out to my deck. And it's just always the pedal pub just slowly creeping down the street with a bunch of woo girls in cowgirl gear. So, yes,
we have it,
but it's mostly not locals.
Credit to them. And that Austin heat and humidity, like those girls got to be sweaty getting off that thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, mostly it's in like late fall, early spring. And it's funny, you can tell like which girls want to be there and which girls are there out of obligation. Like some groups are truly having an amazing time and thriving. And a lot of groups are just like pedaling off a hangover and it looks brutal, brutal. So I'd say one in eight is really having a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's That's fair, right? If you got to be on that thing by like 10, 11 a.m. and you were out all night drinking cocktails and champagne, then you're hungover and it's like, all right, let's get kind of a fun workout in. Like, I could see where some of those girls would be like, Jesus Christ, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. And like a lot of them, you know, they only know the bride or like most of the friends that they don't know, you know, they all flew in from wherever. And so you definitely get some weird setups. And there's a little bar near my house. Ted, you've seen it. I don't want to say the name, but right next to my place. And they'll pull up there and run in and take a shot and then run out. Ted's where we did those little glitter shots.
I was going to say, I know exactly what we're talking about. By the way, those glitter shots looked impressive, tasted horrible.
Bro, they were special. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it didn't even look like glitter. It looked like metallic, like the metallic paint job on a car swirling in there. They did taste horrific, but they looked cool.
They tasted horrific, and the viscosity of that shot was odd.
Oh, yeah. The viscosity was like car paint, I would say, what I would imagine that would be. Thick. I don't even remember how she sold us on them. I think we just saw a couple of them. We were like, yeah, we're in.
Yeah, right? It's just like this many dollars for like a snow globe shot or glitter shot. And we were like, well, we got to try that.
We're obviously it.
Right. And then, of course, we had to adjourn to my favorite bar in West 6th, Little Woodrow's.
Little Woodrow's for life, dude. We are there all the time. I like, even at my wedding, we ended up there again after the pool party.
I also like, I ran into some listeners at the country show, and like, I was talking to this one guy, and like the people with him, and we're just in the beer line. And we just start talking beers, and he's talking about the Benjamin IPA. But like me and jorts in a cowboy hat, like I had to like keep taking off my hat. I'm like, no, I am Ted Smith. No way, dude. And I'm like, yeah, look, it's me under here. All right.
Dude, you do. I got to say, I think I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast, but I got to say, you do wear the cowboy hat / Texas look well. Like Texas Ted it has kind of like, you've embodied, it's sort of become its own character, and it's fun to be around. It's just a different, an easeful way of being. It seems almost natural at this point. And you live a little larger, you know, I got to say, it's like you struck oil.
I also like, do you guys know the Hard Times? It's kind of like the Onion for like metal bands and punk bands.
Yeah, I love that.
Somebody sent me a link today that was like, what to do when your friend starts experimenting with a cowboy hat? It was like, it'd be down to like a T. That's like, stay calm. It's probably a phase. And it goes through all the stuff. And then it's like, trouble signs. It keeps referencing, they're watching a lot of one bite pizza reviews, which I watch all the time. And then it's like, and they talk about Kill Tony podcast. I was like, oh, Jesus, man. Like this article like just nailed me. It's like, I was like, yep, they got me. They got me.
Brutal. We got him. We got him. Yeah. Going to a lot of Kenny Chesney and wearing jorts. We got him.
Also, I mean, last weekend was just kind of fun. Friday night, our buddy Kevin Deers from KSW and Loud and Local was hosting Live and Local Fest. Live and Local Fest. 2 days up at this Club Hectic in Linwood. So I was like, Friday night, I'm like, man, I'll go up there. I love Kevin. Show him a little support. Cobb, I used one of your old lines. Like, I show up, right? It's like louder bands. Everybody's in black. I'm in a Husky t-shirt and my Dead and Company hat. And I was like, I feel like I'm committing a hate crime wearing all these colors. But like they're planning for the next day, this and that. So they have this shot they serve, which is like, I learned about this kind of shot at Burning Man. It's called a whiskey slap. That's how I heard of it, right? You do a shot of whiskey, somebody throws water in your face, and then they smack you. Now, generally, it's an attractive female bartender. So people are like, that's how it happened to me. And I'm like, all right. And that girl at Burning Man smacked me pretty damn hard. This couple, right, that owns this bar, they also film a show for, I believe it's Amazon Prime, called Band Wars, where they do all kind of like this, like some kind of like Jackass kind of stuff, like some of it's music, right? So they're like, Ted, they're going to order, these guys, three guys are getting these tsunami or whatever shots. Like, we want you to smack them. And I'm like, right? Like, it's Friday after work. I'm like, I don't know, man. And they're like, don't sweat it, man. Like, they signed waivers and everything. And I'm like, all right.
That sounds like bro law, by the way, that they signed a waiver in a bar. That's bro law, dog, right there. Right. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. Nothing could possibly go wrong if you injure them permanently.
So we go out back. We're out back. I like, there's a little ledge. So I'm like, well, let me get the high ground. First guy, he had a nice cowboy hat. I kind of got him in like the side of the neck, like not very good. And I'm like, all right. Second guy, I'm warming up a little bit now. And then the third guy, who I'm friends with on Facebook now, who's dressed as a clown, they're like, hit him as hard as you want. And I'm like, as hard as I want? And they're like, yeah. Now, how does one judge how hard to smack somebody?
Well, I'll say this. I've watched the slap world championships or whatever, like slap boxing, you know?
Yeah.
So pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, that clown, I don't know if it was a crown or a molar, but like, we lost a tooth.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Ted. He's Jesus,
like,
dude.
He's like, no, man, it's great. Like, I'm like, yeah, all right. I did not expect that. Now, plus side is, boys, we still got a little pop in the right arm.
Dude, wow. Let's wait, so go. Is that going to be on Amazon Prime, potentially? Did they film that?
I think
that?
At some point it will. I mean,
and you smack this dude's tooth out? Ted, that I don't know what the line for too hard is, but you certainly crossed it. I can tell you that confidently. I can tell you that confidently, dude.
And then later I'm talking to him. He's out of the clown stuff. He's like playing in a band. And he's like, I was in the Navy, this and that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. I feel awful. He's like, no. Don't sweat it. Like, it's great. I could tell people you smacked the shit out of me. I'm like, all right.
A crown came up? Bro. Dude, you got to hit pretty hard to lose a tooth.
Dude.
Like, that's, I'm really like kind of just doing like the, you know, the back of the napkin physics in my head. And like, you know, that was no, I mean, that had some, you know, psychologically, that might've had a little bit of hate behind it, Ted. And you were swinging with
dressed
something.
Dressed as a clown, dude.
Yeah. Did something happen? You want to talk about it?
Well, like later in the night, people are like, you must do this crazy stuff all the time. I'm like, no, I haven't. My hand hasn't physically touched somebody's face in years outside of like sparring. And that's been years. So, I mean, also, like, I just kind of forgot. I was like, all right, I guess I better, like, this one's on. I'm going to smack him good. I was like, oh, damn, I got him.
Ted, I'll say this. I understand that being your reaction. But in all fairness, we've been friends for what? So I'm 16 years or something like that. You do crazy shit all the time. Like, your life is so far from like the middle of the bell curve. This is not to gas you up, but like, mate, you have some very extreme life experiences and tendencies. And I think for the most part, it's positive, but like, yeah, what they were thinking about you, you know, you're not maybe on the level of like the Jackass guys, but like, were you to compile a year's worth of footage into one episode, 1 hour long episode, like, people would see some ass.
If I may. It's a pretty small sliver of the human pie chart of like people that can make someone stoked by smacking their tooth out of their mouth.
That's a good point.
Right?
Very few.
Get away with that. And the dude's like, hell yeah, man. Thank you.
Right? Yeah. I'd like to, you know, as your fake attorney, as your bro law defendant, I'd like to take a look at that waiver.
That's right by your belly flop insurance.
There's
policy.
Legit no way that covers you for that. Not a chance. And you know, in we had the flow place, and in Washington, like, those waivers do very little to protect you. So anyway, well, we probably shouldn't even be talking about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, man. Why? I'm trying to feel not bad about this. I mean, but also, like, look, full disclosure. I woke up the next morning. I was kind of like, God damn, I didn't know I still had that in me.
Still got that dog in you, Ted.
It's looking at your hand.
Right? It's like, got him.
dude, you have some meaty palms too, which I think, at least in the slap championships, whatever those are called, those help. Like, you have a thick palm.
That's
I just, when you held it up to the camera, I could see that.
I know too. Well, that's why I was like, they're like, as hard as you want. I was like, hard as I want? And they're like, yeah. I was like, all right. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time I slapped somebody, and it's like, as hard as you want. I'm like, all right.
Dude, that reminds me, Ted, I can't remember if you were with me or not, but when we were at Burning Man, there was like a woman, like kind of like flogging a guy, and the guy was blindfolded. And she pointed at me and pulled me over. Were you there for that?
No, but I love the story.
Oh, yeah. And so she like pointed at me like to take the flog and keep hitting him. So like I hit him once very, very softly. And this is a leather flog. And she kind of like, and he says more. And I kind of look at her like, are you sure? And she nods. And so I like hit him one more time, but like still like putting 10 to 15% mustard on this thing. Like not much. And he like screams more or called me a pussy or something. And I was just like, all right. And I like looked at her and she's like, she gave me the hard nod. And I just did like the Nolan Ryan, like full recoil, everything in my body, like 100%, bam. And he just screamed like a shriek. And I just handed it back to the girl and walked away. And it was, I mean, similar to the slap, like that might be the worst thing I've ever done to somebody. But he was, in my defense, he was asking for it. No waiver, but yeah, similar scenario. Like, I don't know what the repercussions were, but he took some damage.
Yeah, that was the same thing. People were like, by the second person, they're like, hit him harder. So like by the third person, I'm just like, all right, like lining it up, like adjusting my feet. So yeah. It's like, you know, like, I don't know, man, there's a reason a big dog's in the cage. You just let him out of the yard.
Exactly. Like you try to be polite the first, dude, you try to be polite the first couple times and they keep saying hard and you're like, fine. Like you don't want to be civil anymore. You want the juice. You want the noise brought on you. Like I'll bring it, but I don't think civilized society is ready. Ted, dude, it's nice that you let the beast out of its cage. Why not? Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so you weren't here last week. We did not talk about it a ton. I don't care if you just go see the nature show they run during the day. A, go to the Sphere. Hands down, the coolest musical experience I've ever had in my life. Trying to describe it, Cobb, like we went to see Dead & Company, which I had never seen. So first of all, I was just pumped for that. But the visuals, it's so realistic. Like when that thing started, right? And we'd had beers and stuff, but like, man, I had to hold on to a railing because I was getting like motion sickness or whatever. I was like, I couldn't tell like where I was moving or if the floor was moving. Like, I don't know. Did you have the same experience or?
Well, yeah, the screen is so big for people that it fills out your peripherals entirely. So much of your balance and proprioception is based on your vision, that when that thing starts to shift and like leans backwards or leans forward or you start to fly over a city, I mean, it really affects your equilibrium. And so I did not feel like I was falling, but this is a humble brag. We were in a suite, so there was like a lot of floor space. But I think if I was in a regular seat, I would have definitely. And I saw a couple people like struggling to hold on to reality. But yeah, I'm with you. It was very, very cool. And I think people sometimes take joy in my ignorance. So I think I was the only one in the building who did not know John Mayer was going to come on stage and is now playing with the Dead & Company. So all that right. Was cool.
So I did write that down. And Matt, I didn't tell you the story, but like it starts, right? It comes like,
you're right, Kyle. I found some joy there.
Yeah, he's like, who's the young guy? Like, it looks like I
was who's
like,
the kid? That was my line. Kid? Who's the kid?
And I go, it's John Mayer. Again, I know Dead & Company, but like, I have not seen them before. Like, you know, I'm, you know, the mayor, Brad and Taryn, they always go to those shows. So like, but when he dead ass looks at me and he's like, John, that is John Mayer. Like, he's in this band. And even I kind of was like, stop, like looking at the screen. I'm like, yeah, dude, don't you remember? It was kind of a giant deal when they added him. I don't think the Deadheads were happy, but I was like, yeah, that's John Mayer. He's part of Dead & Company.
And he was so good. I mean, I love John Mayer. So yeah, seeing that he was out there, like that took the experience to a 10 immediately for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I like John Mayer already, I like his regular music. He's obviously good with Dead & Company, but I don't think it's out of line to say John Mayer might be one of the top five guitar players. Like, oh, I mean, yeah. He absolutely shreds. And like, I guess other people were telling us too, that he like some of the end of those songs, because it is a jam band, that he like kind of plays different on each night or whatever. But I mean, he would just go off. And yeah, I mean, I would just get stuck just like, God damn, he is killing it.
I mean, who else could you replace Jerry Garcia with? you know, like the very few.
Yeah, I don't know. And then did you sit in the seats during the drum and space part?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. That was the best part of the show for me.
Yeah. Matt, the seats, right? Like vibrate as they're playing these crazy drums and these instruments. I also didn't realize it seems like the Dead created like EDM music. I was like,
yeah, they rolled out two giant drum sets.
Yeah. I was like, this is insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my highlight of the show. The seats are haptic, I think is the right word. And so they react to the music and enhance it significantly. And it was intense. It was like recently I did this thing that was like a sound bed of some kind. It was kind of like that. Really cool.
Yeah, that part. And right, too, like the mayor was on it. He's like, get in your seats for this. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah. For people who are curious, it's called the Opus sound bed. Really, really cool experience that I thought was going to be underwhelming.
I also, Matt, I think you'll appreciate this. I thought it was a good joke. I'm not sure I said it to the right woman, but I was like, the hotel we were at, the Encore, the showers were nice, and they had these shower heads that you could just use at a good pressure. So, like, as those seats are vibrating, I lean over and I go, well, between these vibrating seats and that shower head, I would never leave Las Vegas if I was a woman.
I'm so curious who you said that to. You don't have to tell me now, but interesting. How was the reaction?
So I said it to the mayor's wife because she was next to me. Keep in mind, the stone sober, does not drink, does not smoke, nothing.
That barely leaves the house, does not drink.
Right. Wow. She was kind of like, all right, like, you know? And then.
That's so good, dude.
And then later in the night in the suite, I used it on another woman that I was like chugging Bud Lights with. And she was like, oh, you're right, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I thought it was a good joke, but man, wrong audience on that first one.
Oh, that's so gold, dude. God, I just, that feels good because I feel like I'm the only one who just says like completely random off base S to women or like just has those awkward moments. That's nice to experience
more. Oh, that's
like
so that,
no, it was a good line. I messed it up. But like, you were right. And I respect that you tried it again because I feel like I'll say something and it falls flat. I'm like, no, that was a good joke, man.
Yeah. But Ted, if you said that to the mayor and it got a laugh, in that moment, you know, and then you told me about it all this far after the fact. Like, I mean, it's not that great of a line. It what makes it so funny is how off you are on the audience there.
Like, completely off. Because somebody else later was like, how much do you talk to that person? And I said, well, I talked to her a decent amount. I go, but after the drum part of the show, I was like, all right, I'm clearly buzzed up. I'm not going to talk anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
Matt, like, look, you still smoke weed, right? So at least like, if I say something weird to you, I'm like, at least he's a little stoned. Like, she does not partake in anything. And I'm just like, yeah, yeah, that was a little, sophomore humor, but also I stand by that point. Women love it.
Yeah.
Showerhead, and that seat was vibrating. I mean, it gave me a male tingle.
I've heard multiple stories from from girls of like discovering a jet in a hot tub or a jacuzzi somewhere.
Yeah, right.
I just being like, whoa, like that's their first introduction to pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, they don't run around with like the number one ace of all time on their right or left hand like we do.
Right.
Old Angela. Oh, man.
That is good. Also, real quick, it's funny. Saturday before we go down to Kenny Chesney, like my buddy's friend who lives like just a mile from him, he's having like his birthday, right? Which I thought this was a good idea for a birthday party. They just had a bunch of little baby pools and they filled them up with ice. And then everybody brought a six pack or whatever. They won it. And everybody had like a little glass. It was almost like a beer festival. And you would get to like you would try them and then you'd go up on the board and give it a grade and this and that. Oh. I was like, man, that's a pretty damn good idea. But also, my buddy, he was like, it was sunny out, and they're right on a lake. So it was like, let's bring over these 10 by 10 shade structures. Dude, there was like 20 minutes where I was like, I felt like I was at Meltdown. We were just setting up shade structure after shade structure. I was just like, all right, we're good. And credit to those people. We went to the Kenny Chesney concert. We come back, right? They had been boozing all day. All those tents we brought were down and packed up and put away. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is good work out of you guys. I probably would have been like, screw it, we'll get them tomorrow. And like the guy whose party it was, he was like, dude, because I was like, are you not drunk? He's like, no, I'm drunk. He's like, I just didn't want to have to do it tomorrow. And he was like, I had like, you know, he's like, I had 20 dudes here. And I was like, yeah, that's good thinking.
Yeah, that's a good move. Like, all right, mobilize. We need 1 minute of effort.
Exactly.
I like that.
All right, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and the Cobb topic? All right, welcome back. Thank you to all our sponsors as always. Trying to think what's coming up. I don't think I have any thing to mention. Oh, you know what? Black Raven. They have this famous flock party that's coming back this Saturday. I know a couple guys from the show will be there. I think it starts at noon. I know Mike's going. I think Thrill's going. I won't be there, but I'm going to see Hootie. But yeah, should be a good time. And then the weekend after the men's room, the whole show will be back out at the Pub 884 in Bremerton. So we went out there last summer. It was pretty, it was rowdy. We haven't had a men's room event like that. Yeah, there were signs. Like it was crazy, man. It was a lot of fun. Got some weed from a old school, just say two wheeled kind of fella. He's like, there's only one problem with it. And I said, what's that? He goes, I ran out of jars. So he washed out this minced garlic jar and put it in there. I swear to God, the weed was good. But every time you pulled a butt out, it's like, I feel like I'm just smoking garlic.
Yeah, just minced garlic. Right.
That's hilarious. Right.
It was kind of gangster, though. And he was an old school dude. He's like, dude, this is homegrown, this and that. He's like, I apologize for the smell. And at the time, I was kind of drunk, like, not a big deal. And then, like, every time I opened that jar, like, the next couple of weeks, I was like, God damn, that thing does reek.
Yeah, narrator, it was a big deal.
Hey, real quick, where are you guys at? Do you get garlic fries at a Mariners game?
No, I'm original guy. I love fries. I love anything potato. As an Irishman, I don't touch garlic fries. Too powerful. You're trying to chat up women in the beer garden. I can't do it. I'm out.
All right, Matt.
I like them. You know, yeah, not all batches are created equal, but yeah, when you get them done right, they're the best. But I will say, I haven't been there in a long time, so you know, I hate to be giving out outdated information, but I will acknowledge as such, I've had some lackluster plates of fries at that stadium, garlic fries.
Yeah, and I think they smell better than they taste, but I just know people love them. It is part of, like, to me, it's part of going to a Mariners game, you know, smell it. But like when me and my brother and sister-in-law and my niece went to the game, my brother was like, we gotta get the garlic fries. I was like, I don't know. Like, I never get them anymore. But, like, I don't know. I just wanted to check with you guys.
Wait, what's your go-to in-stadium food, Ted? I'm very curious. Because you're at CenturyLink a lot.
Lumen.
Oh, yeah. Either way. I just was trying not to say Safeco, which is now, what, T-Mobile?
T-Mobile. And yeah. It's Magenta.
That's a good-ass line, too. Right. I'm gonna use that.
I got so annoyed when they changed to T-Mobile and people were like, what's with this, you know, gay ass purple pink and this and that? And I'm like, it's Magenta, you dick. Have some class.
That's such a
and look, dude, I wear pink shoes. Let's not be homophobes because people are wearing a little pink.
Dude, I gotta say though, that's such a gay line of you to say. Like, it's Magenta. I love that. I'm 100% gonna steal that from you.
Well, that's why I always say it that way. It's Magenta, you dick.
Yeah, it's like, you unsophisticated ingrate.
Yeah, have some class. You know what? No garlic fries for you. Cobb, and it's so weird or random. The most consistent thing I buy at a stadium, salted, hot, soft pretzel, yellow mustard.
Dude, I like that. I don't hate that at all. In fact, we'll talk later, but I got some pretzels for you to try. I know about a hot spot.
And a little pricey, but at Mariners games, man, they have a couple of those crab shacks. And they have like a Dungeness crab sandwich, almost like a crab grilled cheese. That's on like buttered bread. Like that one's pretty good. Like my sister-in-law got that and I was like, good work. She was like, this is like a really good sandwich. Like not just for the stadium. I was like, yeah.
Ooh. Do the, your sister's a Maryland person. Do they respect the Dungies or are they all Maryland blue crab all the time?
I think everybody like the dungeon. I mean, Dungeness meat is pretty similar to a blue crab. Just the access. It's just easier with Dungies, but the main problem is there's not enough spice, right? So like the last day we were all together, we went down to the crab pot and like, I brought a thing of Old Bay with me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Got to do it.
Such a Maryland move.
All right, Mr. Kyle, we got some emails.
Yeah, boy. To the greatest cunts in all the land.
All the land.
Just want to start off by saying I appreciate you guys and all that you do. I've been listening since the very beginning when I was barely in my 20s, but fell off for a little bit during COVID due to life giving me just a bit more than I could handle and things just kind of went to shit. Fast forward to today, I'm in my early 30s. I'm happily married, have an insanely cool job, and in general, just in a better place in life. You three dudes have been a fairly consistent thing in my life, and I just got to give you props for being genuinely good people. Congrats to you and your wife on getting married, Cobb. Sounds like a wild time. Thank you, it was. Appreciate that. Also, Matt, I decided to go California sober, and you're a big inspiration for me. Thanks for always being you, my dude.
Nice.
Last thing, Ted, did you watch the fucking Austrian Grand Prix? I'd love to hear your thoughts on having such a different top three in the drama with Lando and Max. Cheers, fellas. Josh.
So I did. I actually watched that one on replay as I missed it. The thing is, like, Lando Norris and Max Verstappen, they're like buddies, right? But people forget that Max drives like an asshole, right? That's why originally I didn't like him, right? He did it, you know, he did it to Ricardo when they were teammates. He did it to Lewis. But Lewis, by that point that Max was getting so good, I think there were certain times that Lewis would just be like, it's not worth it. I'll get him back. Whereas Lando's not going to give up his position. So, yeah, that'll happen with Verstappen. And it's like, yeah, Lando was pissed after the race. And it's like, I don't know. I get both sides. I get for Max, that's the way he drives. He's not going to drive different just because it's his buddy on the course, you know, is on the course. But also I get Lando's point, and but it's kind of funny. Like, have you not watched Max drive when somebody has a car that's competitive with his? Like, that's how he drives.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will say, though, shout out to F1. I mean, at the beginning of the year, it seemed like Verstappen was just going to dominate like he did all of last year, right? I think he won, 18 out of 22 races or something crazy. But there's been different winners. Lando finally came in first in a race. Charles Leclerc finally won in Monaco where he lives. Like, it's been a fun year.
Do you think living in Monaco that he ever just like goes out on the circuit just in this regular car and just kind of like, you know, not rips it, but just sort of like in his mind, it's like racing it?
I mean, yeah, but there's got to be traffic because remember, it's just a street course.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just going at the pace of traffic, but just like in his head, he's like, this is that corner, this is whatever. I don't know.
Dude, I do like he finally wins his home race, right? And there's this famous story. I guess when his dad was dying or something, he kind of like lied and was like, oh, I won Monaco or something. So it's been kind of like this big deal that like Leclerc finally wins at Monaco. And then there's videos of him on his bicycle just riding home like after the race before he like goes out to party. It's just like, it's just random. It's very European, but like you live in like the richest place in the world. You've just won the Monaco Grand Prix. And after all the celebrations, like, all right, hang on, let me hop on my bike. I'm gonna go home and change. Let's hit the clubs.
Yeah, exactly. No super yacht, no helicopter, bicycle.
Yeah.
That is very European.
Whereas like European. I would still be down there near the fans and the other drivers just chugging champagne and spraying it. And like, I'm not leaving this moment till they tell me I have to leave.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to drag me out of here.
I'd be in the club still in my gear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm wearing the suit for sure. Covered in champagne. Who cares? Music venues. Hey guys, first time emailer and been listening to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Since day one.
Woo!
Wow.
Nice.
Dude, that's always crazy to me when 10 years later someone decides to come out of the woodwork.
We might call him as a witness in our trademark case.
Yeah, seriously. Dude, that's just wild. I always wonder, like, I haven't read the rest of this guy's email yet, but I always wonder, like, what inspires someone to finally be like, I'm going to email these guys. Like, they don't send out any junk mail. I'm not on some mailing list. Like, I'm going to track down their, like, POS website, and they need to hear from me. Like, finally, we tipped them over the edge, boys, and that feels good.
Well, I'm with you. I'm like, what is it going to be?
Yeah, I'm like, what did we finally say that pushed this guy? All right, let's get into it. Been listening since day one. Ted and Matt were talking about the Gorge and Red Rocks last week and mentioned that they haven't heard of a similar scenic music venue on the East Coast. The closest I've heard of is a place called the Caverns in Tennessee. It's just a big cave system that the owners turned into an amphitheater. I've seen videos of some DJs doing some really cool sets down there. Anyway, keep on keeping on. Love the cast and LARP on. Dustin.
Oh, thanks, Dustin.
That's what got him. I've seen that. I've seen pictures of that place. That place is dope.
Yeah, right. Because, Cobb, we were talking about, like, just between the Gorge and, like, Red Rocks. I'm like, I just don't think there's amphitheaters. And I was telling Matt, like, I know, like, some of the beach towns, like Ocean City has, like, a big festival, but they just do it on the beach, right? There's, like, that hangout festival down in Alabama. But I couldn't think of, like, a big venue that's, like, naturally outdoors on the East Coast.
Dude, I got a little hack for people, or hack maybe it's the wrong word. I have a little cool thing to check out for people. If you go on YouTube and type in Cercle, and that's C-E-R-C-L-E, it's French. You want to see some cool music venues? It's a group of DJs who will set up like an incredible scene at a historic spot in the world, whether they're in like in front of the pyramids of Giza or on a hot air balloon or on the peak of a Swiss mountaintop. Just DJing a sick set, and there's some really good music in there and some even better visuals. So anyway, Cercle, C-E-R-C-L-E on YouTube, and you're welcome.
Yeah, dude, it's funny talking about blowing people's minds when people view that stuff. But was it an Uber the other day, and it's like a Ukrainian guy, and he's playing like some trance. This, and he's like, you like EDM? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, who do you like? So I put in Dom Dalla, and then like it starts hitting in the chorus, and he's like, do you mind subwoofers? And I'm like, no, we were just like partying, right? And he's like, thank you. Like, I'm going to listen to this. And I'm like, shout out to our buddy. I was like, he turned me on to that DJ, but like, that guy was pumped. He's like, and I get it. Like, right, I'm sitting in the back of your Uber. You're not going to look at me and be like, massive EDM fan, but like, it's in there. It's in the repertoire.
Oh yeah. And if people are interested in Dom Dalla, he's playing September 13th at the Gorge. So.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. You know what, dude? You know what's funny? The next day, Diplo's doing his Diplo Run Club at Gasworks.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to sign up, run the 5K, and then watch Diplo in the afternoon, but it's also the new Apple Cup at Lumen Field on September 14th. Well, it's a big weekend.
September 14th. Wow, that's really early.
Well, they're not in the same conference anymore, and now Washington ends with Oregon at the end of every season.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. I'll take that. Yeah, and I haven't looked at Washington's schedule, but there are some beasts in that new conference. I mean, Buckeyes, Michigan. I'm scared to look at the schedule, to be honest.
Maryland.
Syracuse.
All right. Rutgers.
Yeah. Oh, look out. Yeah, it looks like, Weber State week. They're probably not in a conference, though. I'm just picked the worst possible time to look through the conference, which is right now. I'll look at it later. Okay. Wait, so this is a tough one to figure out.
I could probably run down the entire Big Ten conference. We don't need to, but I could put that out there.
Gentlemen. First off, congratulations to Cobb on what sounds like a truly epic wedding. Frankly, it sounded so epic that it doesn't even sound real, but rather a frenzied fever dream of orgiastic revelry that would make a Roman emperor blush. Accurate. As for simple daily life upgrades, years ago, I started making myself daily smoothies. Oh, we read this one, I think, before.
Yeah.
I see. And then he sent me an offcast. Wait, so I can't quite tell. Sorry, I have to read this for just a second. It's from Carson the lawyer. I got to make sure that this, I can read this on air.
Also, he's not the first one to say that. Somebody in my family was like, "Don't understand. Sounds like you more like you went to like a party and a rave than a wedding." I was like, "Well, that's kind of what they wanted. They wanted it to be a giant party."
Yeah. Okay. Do you think people are curious what's in Carson's smoothies? I asked. I'm happy to read it on air, but if not, we can skip it.
Give the recipe.
All right. Hey, Cobb. Actually been meaning to email you off cast about something unrelated, more later. So this is serendipitous. For my smoothies, take a pound of frozen chopped spinach. You gotta get mine at Trader Joe's because they have 1 pound bags and accept bulk orders. 5 to 6 cups of frozen broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, the Kirkland signature Normandy vegetables medley, and 2 to 3 cups of frozen raspberries, blueberries, and blackberries, the Kirkland signature three berries blend. Before I was trying to lose weight, I'd also throw a couple handfuls of raw almonds and walnuts. With that much frozen stuff, I found it helpful to thaw each day's ingredients in the fridge for 24 hours. I just dump it all in a big glass bowl. Even then, it can still be half frozen and tough for a Vitamix to grind through. So I'll use the hot water spigot on my water cooler to fill the pitcher and let it sit for a couple minutes to finish thawing before blending. After blending, I'll split it up into a couple mason jars. The list above produces 2 very thick 1-quart smoothies. And each batch lasts for about 48 hours. After splitting the mason jars, I'll add some protein powder, Orgain's plant-based protein, easily the most delicious plant protein powder I've found. Costco usually has a couple flavors. And he tried using Magic Bullet, but Vitamix is superior. Okay, cool. I would say that's essentially the recipe.
I would also say to people, if you're trying to add more protein in, I like the Costco pre-made protein shakes, Premier Protein, but those Fairlife ones are just unbelievable.
The Costco Premier Proteins, I feel like, got expensive. I used to drink those all the time.
A little more. I mean, it's still pretty cost effective. And I'll buy like their, you ever seen the silver cans of just black coffee they sell in like a 12 or whatever pack?
Oh, yeah.
It's like sometimes in the morning, I'll just mix those two together and have like, so it's like, all right, having some coffee and a protein shake.
Nice. And, get it.
Yeah. All right, we got one more in there.
Yeah, last one. Sorry, I was finishing my bite, which is a huge bite in the podcast world. Mindfold. Good day to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Listening to this week's pod, congratulations, Cobb, on your recent nuptials, and was keen to learn more about the Mindfold as a form of stress reliever, or at least something in line with what Matt was saying with his feet and regaining dexterity or movement. Amazon has a few different types listed. Is there a particular brand you would recommend? There is. It's literally called the Mindfold. So hopefully that clears it up. It's a black Mindfold. It says Mindfold across the front. It's in retro 70s packaging. It looks very ghetto when it shows up, but it works pretty well. They're about $12 to $15, I want to say, to help you get the right one. Matt's pulling his out now.
Nice. I will be doing this week's What's Mattening with a Mindfold on.
Nice.
All right.
Throw it on.
Not to brag.
So it takes a little bit of time to take effect. So long story short, I've been getting loose control on the left side of my body. And while conventional doctors cannot find the smoking gun as to why, anything I can do to try and will that movement and control back can only be a good thing. I'm a firm believer that the mind can accomplish just about anything given the right tools. Also, in relation to last week's topic, my go-to term for some quiet time is I'm going to visit Mrs. Palmer and her $5. Cheers. Aaron from Melbourne, Australia. Okay, Aaron. Matt and I probably both have answers for you. So first, you should definitely get a Mindfold and just try it for that. I mean, worst case scenario, you're out $15, but you got to be patient with it. It takes probably 10 to 12 minutes to get really deep into your own brain and your own physiology. And you'll start to feel enhanced sense of touch or enhanced senses other than your eyes. You can have your eyes open or closed in the Mindfold, but being in a dark room helps. Sometimes a little bit of light will leak in. And I occasionally will smoke some weed before doing it, which enhances the sensations even further. But yeah, I think that using that to try to really focus on the nerves and muscles in the left side of your body and move them, you're certainly not going to do any damage. You're not going to make it worse. And I definitely have heard of neuroregenerative practices similar to that. I can't say whether it's going to work or not, but I think being a firm believer helps. It gets you halfway there. But yeah, I think just going into that meditative state and really focusing on what you can feel and what you can move. And then like Matt was saying with the toes, like working up to it over time. I mean, it's going to take time, but I definitely could see consistent practice of that being very helpful. I'm not able to say whether it'd be effective or not for you or for anyone, but I do think that that would be bro doc. But I do think that probably you'd, you know, I think it's a good use of your time. Matt?
Yeah, I mean, patience. I mean, I'm a big believer in what you're capable of. I just think people's timelines get a little bit antsy here in the modern West. And so, yeah, just stick with these things and be patient and, you know, definitely keep believing in the ability to get there. Right. Even if you're not, it's yeah. If you stop believing that you can, you definitely won't.
Yep.
Yeah. That and patience.
Yeah. Patience. Yeah.
Gotcha. Best I got, dude. I've been doing this a long time.
Patience is tough.
All right. Tough. Strap that on and let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt means, check out with what's Mattening.
Okay, so in theory, with this mindfold on, I'll be able to more vividly recall the events of my weekend. Is that correct?
Well, I think it takes time to get into theta state. So I was hoping you'd strap it on a little beforehand, but yeah. In theory, you'd be a little less focused on visual stimuli, proprioception, distance, texture, color, and a little more focused internally on what you want to say and how you want to say it and your vivid memory and recollection.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different because there's so much stimulation of just sitting in front of a screen for an hour and then popping this on like right away is pretty wild. So yeah, this weekend I referenced it in the intro. I had a bunch of crazy weather throw wrenches in some of my plans, and that was kind of the main thing. But I'm trying to remember which day it was. If I put the mindfold on earlier, I'd probably know by now. But one of the days, my lovely girlfriend Tyler decided to prepare a big Thanksgiving feast for us.
I saw that.
Which was awesome, man. I mean, we went all out and then had leftovers for like 4 days in different capacities. So it was like crazy weather and, you know, Thanksgiving leftovers. It was just pretty wild. And I was like, dude, I'm pretty sure, you know, you manifested winter weather by making a Thanksgiving dinner here.
All right, I was gonna say you should have cranked the AC down while it was raining. Be like, all right, we're back in Seattle, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was really, really fun weekend, but mostly just laying low. And yeah, on Sunday we were going to golf and made it to the first hole. And as I'm teeing off, like we heard the first thunder and I was like, you know, that sounds pretty distant. You know, it doesn't look too bad. And like, yeah. Then by the time we made it to the first green, like it was straight up raining. The wind was picking up and there was more thunder. And yeah, so we made it through one hole of golf. And, you know, just kind of laid low and watched the rain and it was hailing, man. I mean, this place isn't built for that. It gets wild here and it comes through for, you know, a few hours or whatever. But it did it 2 days in a row of pretty stormy.
You don't want to be on a golf course in a thunderstorm.
No. And this one is particularly like the terrain. It's in a mountain. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's in a mountain And so there are really crazy cart path angles and turns and stuff to get around the mountain that these holes are built into. And it's crazy up there. And so the golf cart path is straight up not safe if there's just a little bit of water, because there's already sand all over the place blowing. And at those angles with those curves, there's a big potential for accidents. So the course has been closed for like 3 or 4 days now because of how much rain we got. And like, if that side's wet, you just can't play. So yeah, it's been pretty real out here. But yeah, not a ton going on. Just laying low and enjoying Thanksgiving leftovers for the whole weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound, I mean, the weather sounds shitty, but that doesn't sound bad at all.
Now I got to take it off so I can flag that.
Sorry.
That's why I had to do it during my segment. Oh, nice. Cobb's mind folding now, too?
Yeah,
I'm in the fold, Doug.
I'm like Aaron.
You were folding, dude.
Like Aaron down there in Melbourne. Like, I gotta order some. All right. Well, it is about that time.
Cobb topic.
So since we're talking mindfold, and I've actually been using mine a lot lately. I don't know if you guys noticed, but at least for me, maybe it's just I'm ADD, but when I'm taking in a lot of Twitter and Instagram and whatnot, it's like opening like little tabs in my brain. It's like opening little like browser tabs, hundreds of them, maybe thousands. And it gets tough to focus. And I noticed myself afterwards, after I'll go on like a social media binge, I'm like a little more depressed, feel down. And a little scatterbrained and seeking dopamine. And it's tough to kind of, I don't know, focus and make sense of things and move forward. And so I use the mindfold in a lot of those situations, and it kind of brings me back to an equilibrium and de-stresses me a little bit. So my question for you guys and for the listeners at home, even people who have listened since episode 1 and never emailed us, hell yeah. What is your little like de-stress hack, or even more like more intimate would be like when you get stressed, like what is the way you relieve the pressure? And I'll add one more on mine, which is that like, I'm just an emotional eater. So I'll go get fast food or whatever. Typically Wendy's deluxe double stack, shout out to my girl Wendy. But yeah. So what is your de-stressor? It can either be a technique you use, or it can be, you know, something more like childhood trauma based like mine. Either way, feel free to email at thepodcast.com. Boys, how do you de-stress?
I mean, I'd say on the bad side, stress eating is, or, you know, anxiety is definitely something I struggle with. But then I think we've talked about a little bit before, like sometimes I just got to go for a walk, or the other one that I love, honestly, is sometimes I'll just take a shower, like a long shower, right? Because it's like, you can't have any other stimulation besides the shower, right? You're not going to be in there on your phone or this or that. Like, you're not playing music. And like, yeah, I like that too. I mean, even like Saturday night, right? I finally got home at like 1 a.m., right? So I was like, man, I just need to, and like just sitting in that shower and like soaping up and getting the day off. Yeah, like it just felt like a relief. Like, I came out here and I was like, this is awesome. Turned on the TV for a minute. Not to scare you, Cobb, watched your boy Julian Juicy J Arosa get yet another win in the UFC.
He's racking him.
Yeah, it was just on the replay, and I was just like, as fun as Saturday was, that might have been like the calmest, like nicest favorite moment of the day was like post shower, you know, like just chilling out, clean, mind was clear.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. I was just thinking about like, dude, if we got Juicy J on here now, it would just be so fun, because just to tell, like, he's just been such a recurring character on our podcast that like, it's always great to hear updates involving him. For me anyways, I don't know about you, Cobb. I didn't talk a bunch of shit the whole time, so I don't have have a potential beef with the guy. Not saying you do.
You think I'm going to say it to his face? Not a chance. No. 0% chance.
So
I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah. It's a long time ago. Yeah, the biggest thing for me lately, like the past, probably, I would say the past like 3 years, I've been aware of it. In the last like year, I've been like actually feeling like I'm getting better at it. Just again, with the like patience and consistency on these things, this is something I sucked at, right? Like, it's easy for me to talk about fitness, but my whole life, I don't know where it started. There's a lot of potential theories. It's probably a combination of different factors from all of them, but I've just always been a big mouth breather, you know, and then just like playing a bunch of sports and swimming. And there was just a lot of like pant, I would just reinforce it. And so it makes a huge difference for me to just like switch to nose breathing for like 5 different ones. Like, I'm trying to transition to more nose breathing all the time, you know, over years and years and years. And this is kind of where I'm at. And I'm decent at that, you know, making slow progress, but whatever. It's just like, I got time. I'm just patiently chilling here, just like trying to improve a bunch of little things in my life that, you know, keep me occupied through my days. And this is one of them. But it's really good for stress. Like, when I catch myself stressing, like, it's really easy to feel myself mouth breathing and like be like, just shut your mouth, breathe through your nose 5 times, and like you just feel chiller instantly. And yeah, I would say that I started trying to use stress as like a trigger to do some nose breathing, because it's a very noticeable thing when I'm like, and then it's just like, get a new nose for like 5 consecutive breaths and just move forward. Then it's like you can literally feel the difference physically in just a few seconds. It's crazy. But nice. I don't know if it works as well if you nose breathe most of the time. I think for me, that contrast is why I notice it so much too.
Yeah, and like breath work's super important, whatever it is you're working on. I mean, there's a reason why. And people are kind of freaking out or whatever, sometimes you're gonna be like, all right, just take a breath. Like, hang on. We'll get there.
Yeah, it works.
Let's see. Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week. And then, I don't know. If you're down at Hootie on Saturday, say what's up. If you're out at the Flock Party, Black Raven, drink some Endroom IPA. And also, they have a lime pilsner that is killer. Put some of those down for your boy Ted. All right, for FCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast, All the Land. Cheers. All right, well, it is about that time.
Cobb topic.
So, since we're talking Mindfold, and I've actually been using mine a lot lately. I don't know if you guys notice, but at least for me, maybe it's just I'm ADD, but when I'm taking in a lot of Twitter and Instagram and whatnot, it's like opening like little tabs in my brain. It's like opening little like browser tabs, hundreds of them, maybe thousands. And it gets tough to focus. And I notice myself afterwards, after I'll go on like a social media binge, I'm like a little more depressed, feel down. And a little scatterbrained and seeking dopamine. And it's tough to kind of, I don't know, focus and make sense of things and move forward. And so I use the Mindfold in a lot of those situations, and it kind of brings me back to an equilibrium and de-stresses me a little bit. So my question for you guys and for the listeners at home, even people who have listened since episode 1 and never emailed us, hell yeah. What is your little like de-stress hack, or even more like more intimate would be like when you get stressed, like what is the way you relieve the pressure? And I'll add one more on mine, which is like, I'm just an emotional eater. So I'll go get fast food or whatever. Typically Wendy's deluxe double stack, shout out to my girl Wendy. But yeah. So what is your de-stressor? It can either be a technique you use, or it can be, you know, something more like childhood trauma based like mine. Either way, feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. Boys, how do you de-stress?
I mean, I'd say on the bad side, stress eating is, or, you know, anxiety is definitely something I struggle with. But then I think we've talked about a little bit before, like sometimes I just got to go for a walk, or the other one that I love, honestly, is sometimes I'll just take a shower, like a long shower, right? Because it's like you can't have any other stimulation besides the shower, right? You're not going to be in there on your phone or this or that. Like you're not playing music and like, yeah, I like that too. I mean, even like Saturday night, right? I finally got home at like 1 a.m., right? So I was like, man, I just need to, and like just sitting in that shower and like soaping up and getting the day off, yeah, like it just felt like a relief. Like I came out here and I was like, this is awesome. Turned on the TV for a minute. Not to scare you, Cobb. Watched your boy Julian Juicy J Arosa get yet another win in the UFC.
I know, he's racking him.
Yeah, it was just on the replay, and I was just like, as fun as Saturday was, that might have been like the calmest, like nicest favorite moment of the day was like post shower, you know, like just chilling out, clean, mind was clear.
I'm glad you asked. I was just thinking about like, dude, if we got Juicy J on here now, it would just be so fun. Cause I don't think just to tell, like, he's just been such a recurring character on our podcast that like, it's always great to hear updates involving him. For me anyways, I don't know about you, Cobb. I didn't talk a bunch of shit the whole time. So I don't have have a potential beef with the guy. Not saying you do.
You think I'm going to say it to his face? Not a chance. No. 0% chance.
So
I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah. It's a long time ago. The biggest thing for me lately, like the past, I would say the past like 3 years, I've been aware of it. In the last like year, I've been like actually feeling like I'm getting better at it. Just again, with the like patience and consistency on these things, this is something I sucked at, right? Like it's easy for me to talk about fitness, but my whole life, I don't know where it started. There's a lot of potential theories. It's probably a combination of different factors from all of them, but I've just always been a big mouth breather. You know, and then just like playing a bunch of sports and swimming. And there was just a lot of like pant, I would just reinforce it. And so it makes a huge difference for me to just like switch to nose breathing for like five different ones. Like I'm trying to transition to more nose breathing all the time, you know, over years and years and years. And this is kind of where I'm at. And I'm decent at that, you know, making slow progress, but whatever. It's just like, I got time. I'm just patiently chilling here, just like trying to improve a bunch of little things in my life that, you know, keep me occupied through my days. And this is one of them, but it's really good for stress. Like when I catch myself stressing, like it's really easy to feel myself mouth breathing and like be like, just shut your mouth. Breathe through your nose five times and like you just feel chiller instantly. And I would say that I started trying to use stress as like a trigger to do some nose breathing because it's a very noticeable thing when I'm like, and then it's just like, get a new nose for like five consecutive breaths and just move forward. Then it's like you can literally feel the difference physically in just a few seconds. It's crazy. But nice. I don't know if it works as well if you nose breathe most of the time. I think for me that contrast is why I notice it so much too.
Yeah, and like breath work's super important. Whatever it is you're working on. I mean, there's a reason why when people are kind of freaking out or whatever, sometimes you're going to be like, "All right, just take a breath." Like hang on. We'll get there.
Yeah, it works.
Let's see. All right. We'll be back next week. And then, I don't know. If you're down at Hootie on Saturday, say what's up. If you're out at the Flock Party, Black Raven, drink some Endrum IPA. And also, they have a lime pilsner that is killer. Put some of those down for your boy, Ted. All right. For FCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast, All the Land. Cheers.